Well, hey there, Darren Garman here, and I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. Good to have you with me. Good to have you aboard this week. We're going to talk about kind of a secret strategy when it comes to making money with apartments. And this is something that you don't ever really hear discussed very much. It's something that you can read a lot of investment periodicals, whether it's Wall Street Journal, Investor's Business Daily, any of those kinds of publications. And you won't see or hear mention of this at all. And it's not like it's so secret there's like some kind of a secret society surrounding this kind of thing. It's anything like that, but you just don't hear about it. But it plays a big, big part in the success of an apartment property. And it really doesn't have anything to do with an apartment property, but it has a lot to do with an apartment property. So what am I talking about? What do I mean? Well, the strategy I want to share with you, and I guess it's really a secret, has to do with this kind of stuff. Okay? This is construction. So what I'm showing you here, there you go. So this is new construction, new apartment properties being built. Okay? And so the question I get a lot from investors, and that's a project that we're actually looking at right now, but the question I get from people a lot, investors, is overbuilding. Is there a danger of a glut of apartments existing because there's a demand, there's a bunch of building that happens, then all of a sudden, boom, there's all these empty apartments and nobody to move into them. And there are a couple of ways that you can really get to the bottom of whether or not that could be the case, depending on what market you're in or what market you're looking to own or invest in, for that matter. And it really has to do with what's going on in that market economically. And I'm not necessarily talking about how great the market is, how economically vibrant the market is, or the city, or, I mean, we'll just say the market, and that could be a city, it could be a town, it could be a county, it could mean a number of things, but let's just talk about the market that you're looking at or considering. Whether you want to buy your own, invest in your own, and run it yourself, and manage it yourself, or if you want to be involved in some kind of a partnership like a lot of folks do with us here. This kind of litmus test is one that no one really talks about, or it's not really considered, but it's probably pretty darn important. And it has to do with the overbuilding. It has to do with a possible glut. It has to do with whether or not a market is one that might be really hot now. It might be all the rage now, but what's it really going to be like 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road? That's really where the rubber meets the road here. Because we could talk all day long about how great something is today, but there's no guarantees, as you know, that that'll be the case later on. I mean, even just a few years down the road. So what do I use? What do I look at when it comes to making those kinds of decisions? There's a lot of things that I look at and really think about, but let me just give you like the top thing that I wanted to communicate to you that I think could be helpful for you as you're making decisions about any kind of multifamily property. And that has to do with rent levels and what the market rents are. Okay, so it's real easy. I talk about in, I think, chapter 3 of my 9-month investment book, I think I talk about it in chapter 2 or chapter 3, about how to find out what the market rent is and find out in an accurate kind of way. I think I mention it in maybe chapter 6 of my Paranoid Banker book as well. But in those chapters, I talk about the process you go through to find out what market rents are. Okay. And so what we're talking about here is finding out what the market rents are, number one. Then number two, establishing a criteria to see if newly constructed properties can financially become cash flow properties with what the current market rent is. So in other words, another way of saying it is, that was a very bad description. Another way of saying it is, can newly constructed properties rent? Can the market afford, will people pay the kinds of rent it is going to take to justify a newly constructed apartment property? So let me give you an example. So right now, most of the properties that we own in our portfolio are, I would say the average value of those properties is going to be around $40,000 a unit. Okay, $40,000 per apartment unit. So if you had the appraiser come out and they did the appraisals and they did all that, more than likely on average you're going to be just, let's just say, ballpark in that $40,000 per unit range. Okay, you follow me on that? Well, if you were to go and build a brand new apartment property today in our market, and this is the Eastern Iowa Cedar Rapids market right now, if you were to do that, you're easily going to be in the $120,000 to $130,000 per unit price range. Okay? So, you've got existing properties that are worth $40,000 a unit, or you can build something brand new and you're paying three times as much. So the question becomes, does it make economic sense to pay, invest, whatever, three times as much in something new, or do you purchase something already existing with track record, with occupancy, with all of that for three times less? That's the question, right? Well, before you automatically say, well, yeah, you do the three times less thing, you get back to my question originally. What's the market rent? What kind of market rents can we get? So our $40,000 per unit property, let's say that that rents for $600 a month. Okay, so we can realistically expect to put our two-bedroom product on the market and get $600 a month rent for it. Okay? All right. However, once you do all the number crunching, you know, you crunch all the numbers on the new construction, what's everything going to cost, land, building, everything else, at the end of the day, just to make ends meet, not to really provide a ton of cash flow, but just to make ends meet, let's say that the rent is going to be, has to be at least $1,600 a month. Okay? Question. Can you get it? Can you get it? And do you want to take the economic risk, the gamble, the bet? You want to take your chances on pouring millions of dollars in a newly constructed property and not really knowing if you can get that rent because it's so high above the average market rent right now? Okay, am I making sense? I hope I am. So in other words, if the market rent for a really great three-bedroom apartment property right now is $1,000 and it's a nice property, maybe 20 years old, maybe 30 years old, but nice, good location, nice amenities. It's a nice property. So let's say you're paying $1,000 a month in the market for a three-bedroom apartment. And you want to think about building a new one, but you're going to need at least $3,000 a month in rent in order for that to make sense. Are you going to take that risk? Most people won't, by the way, not surprisingly. Because your competition is renting comparable units, albeit older, comparable units, and albeit maybe with less amenities, maybe, of course, it's not new and nice and all that, but are you really going to switch that economic engine around for people to pay three times as much in rent for a similar size apartment just because it's new. Okay. Are you going to do that, or are you going to be able to do that? Now, in some markets, you can. Usually in larger metropolitan areas, bigger cities, really fast-growing areas of the country, you could do that. And that is what ultimately leads to overbuilding and a glut of apartments, is the ability to be able to do that now, but eventually when supply catches up with demand and there's more choices for residents or potential residents to make, what do most do? Not all, but most. Well, they default to something that's going to be more affordable, right? That's what they're going to do. And so if you're in a market that has that kind of potential, then that's a market you want to think long and hard about investing in, because you have that kind of risk, okay? And I'm talking about especially investing in newer construction. Okay, so we know in a large metropolitan area that's economically vibrant right now, we can coexist. We can have the three-bedroom apartment that rents for $1,000 a month that's 30 years old coexist with the brand new three-bedroom apartment that is going to be $3,000 a month. We know that they can coexist. But for how long? But for how long? Okay. Because there is going to be a fuse there. There's going to be a time frame where that's going to start to do this. They won't be able to coexist after a certain period of time, especially if developers keep building apartments, which can run some investors into problems. Okay? Now, compare that to a market where you can't do that, really. You really can't. So the smaller markets, like the Cedar Rapids, Iowa, for example, I'd say Sioux Falls, South Dakota would be a good example. I would say markets that are in the 200 to 300,000 population range, now it's not so easy, okay? Even though they may be economically in great shape. So Cedar Rapids is doing great. I use Sioux Falls as an example. I know Sioux Falls is doing great. So you look at those markets, and even though the economy is good, do you really have enough people? Do you really have enough economic vibrancy where someone's going to pay three times as much in rent for a new apartment versus something that's pretty nice, decent, and exists the way it is? In most cases, the answer is no, you're not going to. It's probably not going to happen. And the big picture, the big part of this is you won't have developers and builders that will come in and create new product because they don't really want to stick their neck out there, so to speak, to see if they can get three times as much rent than what the market is paying for at the present time. Which is why in these tertiary markets, like the Cedar Rapids, like the Sioux Falls, like the Waterloo Cedar Falls, you don't see a lot of new construction. Okay, now I'm not saying you don't see it, because you'll see it here and there. Maybe a 40-unit property here, maybe a 60-unit property over there, something like that. But you're not seeing 100, 200, 300-unit apartment projects going up. You're just not. And you probably won't. It'd be a big shock. Okay, it'd be a big shock. So what does this have to do with where you decide to invest when it comes to multifamily? Okay. Well, the thing to consider is competition. Do I want to invest in a market where I pretty much, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I feel pretty comfortable that I'm not going to have a lot of new construction and new building going on that I'm going to have to compete with as a apartment property owner and landlord. Okay. So in other words, I like there to be a tight supply and a lot of demand. I like there to be more demand than there is supply. Okay. And you may say, well, even there, though there might be more demand than supply, that means that people should be building. You're right. But they're not going to be building when you're paying three times as much in rent because of the cost of new construction. You're just not going to see it, hardly ever. So I want a tight market. I want more demand. I don't want competition. I want to be the go-to place, right? I want to be the go-to property. That's what I want. And that's what you should want as an investor. You don't want to compete. I mean, even though a lot of times people say competition's good, you know, competition's great for this and for that, I totally argue and say, no, competition isn't good. I want to be the only choice. Okay? I want to be one of few. I don't want to be one of many. I want to be one of few. I want to be the only choice for people. Okay? And that's totally idealistic, I know, but that's what I want to be. And the place to be the only choice is located in markets that are economically viable, that have a really good economy, has got great infrastructure, all of those things, but it doesn't lend itself to have that much flexibility where new projects can be built and constructed and provide a lot of competition. Because what competition does then is it thins the market. It will start to spread that demand out until there's a lot spread out, and then we've got lots of vacancies and lots of issues as a result. Okay, and so as you're thinking about your multifamily investing, as you're thinking about where to go, where to invest, I mean, there really is not a right or wrong answer. I mean, you could make a case for about any place to go, multifamily, because I think multifamily is going to be king of the hill for quite a while as an investment anyway. Okay. But if you want to get into the weeds a little bit and decide, okay, I think I want to be an investor in an apartment property, or I want to invest more heavily in multifamily, if you've made that choice, good for you. Now it's, where do I go? Where should I look? Where should I be involved? What should I get involved in? And you not only want to take a look at, you know, how large a property is it 200 units, 300 units? What amenities does it have? All that's important, but don't forget what I just said. What's really important is, what is the market like? Can the market handle more apartments being built? And a lot of times people would say, yeah, that's a good thing. That's really not a good thing. That's really not a good thing. Because you don't want competition. Okay? You don't want competition. You want to be the only choice. And so then you can get into splitting hairs with, well, you know, the market's so good they can build apartments for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and it's still not going to catch up with it. Sure, I get that. That could be part and parcel what we're talking about, but just to be as general as possible, what I've shared with you is something not a lot of people talk about and think about. They just look at rate of return, what could it be, what's it projected to be, what kind of benefits do I get, and am I familiar with the property or the person that I'm dealing with, and then they kind of move on, which, by the way, that's good. But if you want to go a little bit deeper, you want to take a look at not just the bricks and mortar, not just the garages and parking lots and garbage disposals and bathrooms and showers and all that. You want to look at the market. Can the market handle more apartment units being built? Okay. And actually, the answer, in my opinion, should be, I want to be in a market where not a lot more have to be built or could be built. I want to be the only choice, not one of 500 more that are coming online, okay? Because that keeps my properties full. It allows me to raise rent much faster. It allows me to be a little bit more aggressive with my rent raises. And it allows me to be able to really produce a larger income from my properties as a result. And so some would say, you're talking about a monopoly, Darren. Well, in a way I am. because I think that's the kind of, that's the ultimate way to do business, is to A, provide a product that people need. Number two, do a good job of servicing the client. In our case, this is a tenant. Provide them what they want at a reasonable price and a fair price, and be one of the few choices. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And that is really, I think, where you want to be headed when it comes to your apartment, property, or multifamily investing. But it's a place and it's a topic that not a lot of people think about, not a lot of people talk about, but it could be a game changer for you in terms of how well you do. Okay. And so, look, I appreciate you being with me today on this podcast, on this week's podcast. I admittedly went into the weeds a little bit with this, but I get questions from investors like, what's the market like? What goes on in your market? What goes on in other markets I should be thinking of or looking at? Maybe where I live or where my brother lives or where my sister lives or whatever. And it's these kinds of thoughts and discussions that need to be, that you need to have, at least with yourself, before you decide to pull the trigger and get involved. All right? All right. Hey, have a great day. Have a great rest of your week or weekend whenever you've tuned in to me. Take care, and we will talk to you later. All right. See you. Bye-bye.